This is Free Speech Radio News for Thanksgiving, November 27, 2003. Today we bring you a special Thanksgiving documentary called Surviving Stream on the plight of a homeless Lakota people in Rapid City, South Dakota. I'm Deepa Fernandez. The state of South Dakota is home to the Lakota Sioux people. The Lakota is one of a few nations to beat the United States in battle when they took out General Custer's 7th Cavalry at the Battle of Little Bighorn. But shortly after, the Land Treaty of 1868 was broken by the U.S. government, and the Lakota was subject to reservations. But today they survive, despite the broken treaties, cultural genocide, economic oppression, and racist hatred of the last 200 years. The Lakota still stand strong in calling for the return of their lands and the restoration of their human rights. While the Lakota remain culturally very rich, they live in what is economically the poorest area of the country. Many Lakota try to escape the 80% unemployment on the state's reservations by traveling to Rapid City, the second largest town in South Dakota. But when they arrive, they find only a wall of racist hatred and economic oppression awaiting them. FSRN's Charles Michael Ray has this special Thanksgiving documentary called Surviving on the Stream. He brings the plight of the homeless Lakota people in Rapid City.
A middle-aged man named Robert stands under a wooden train bridge across his Rapid Creek. He sings a song in Lakota, which means, "Take care." This is the same area where 5 years ago, 8 homeless men, 6 of them Native American, drowned in separate incidents. Their deaths remain unsolved, but many believe foul play was involved. Robert says the words in the song are dedicated to those who still live on these banks. Rapid Creek winds through a series of parks that cut across the center of town, and depending on the season, between 50 to 150 people call this place home. 80 to 90% of them are Lakota men. On cold nights, they bundle up and tuck themselves into tight spaces under the bridges, or cover up in blankets and lie down in the bushes along the stream. Anything to get protection from the winter snows and sub-zero temperatures. One of them is Black Thunder, a middle-aged man with long braided hair who describes himself as a traditional Lakota sun dancer. Black Thunder says he has spent his life on the streets, driving between the Rosebud Reservation and Rapid City. On this chilly November evening, he is getting ready to bed down on a hill overlooking Rapid Creek.
Two garbage bags here. Split them open. Double as a mattress. I use my jacket for a pillow. And I have this here dry cloth. I'll spread that out, cover myself up. Keep the salt and rain off me. That still doesn't keep the moisture from underneath from coming through. You still wake up a little damp.
He rolls up his jacket for a pillow, and he says if you want to make it out here, you have to know how to survive.
It takes a lot of willpower, a lot of know-how. Stay out of the wind. You'll be warm if you know how. If not, you end up like a statistic like everybody else, frozen. If you can't survive out here, then you just don't.
It's not only a physical challenge, but a mental one as well. Bronco Bill, a rather jovial Lakota man, turns somber on a cold, blustery afternoon as he sits on a picnic table near Rapid Creek. His coat hangs open and he has no hat or gloves. He says you have to learn to ignore the cold.
You gotta block it out of your mind. You can sit right there, man. 35 below, you can sit right there. And if you block it out of your mind, you don't think about it. You know what I'm talking about? Don't think about it or nothing. You're not cold or nothing. You're sitting there drinking. It ain't nothing, you know. You wake up next morning still sitting there drinking, you know.
Tony is a Lakota street person in a wheelchair. His hands are rough and appear stiff from the cold as he tries to light a cigarette.
Light this for me.
Tonight, Tony is intoxicated. The broken cigarette hangs from his mouth, and he says he has a hard time finding food and shelter.
There's an attitude that you have to have. You know, I'm gonna make it, no matter what. I will survive. You have to use your head. Use your survival skills. You know, there's gotta be a way. There's gotta be a place where you can go and be warm. And where can we get something, you know, something warm in our stomach? You know, where can we go? Where can we go?
Lakotas like Tony, who find themselves on the streets of Rapid City, have only one place they can go, the Cornerstone Rescue Mission, a Christian-based organization that doesn't allow anyone to be intoxicated on the premises. In the kitchen, the cooks are setting out tin dinner plates and preparing for the noon meal. The Cornerstone provides more than 120,000 hot meals each year and gives shelter each night to up to 120 people. Most of those gathered here in the mess hall are Lakota. Some are sitting quietly with their heads bowed, others are chatting back and forth or playing cards. A group of young men in the corner jokes with each other, and a few families are huddled together around the tables. Everyone is waiting to eat.
Jesus, thou hast promised to all who follow you that where you are in glory.
The Reverend Meng Ho An from the Pahasapa Community Church sings and gives a short sermon before the noon meal. Each day, a different pastor from the community comes here to share the word.
I have promised to
the Cornerstone is the only homeless shelter in Rapid City, and strict rules are maintained here that are intended to help rehabilitate those who have been living on the street.
What is the kingdom of God? There is no pains, no disease, no poverty, no hunger.
While the Christian faith is the basis of the Cornerstone mission, Lakota spirituality is not allowed.
This is a Christian organization.
Dan Iceland directs the Cornerstone Mission. He says Lakota spirituality won't be found here, even if a majority of those served are Native American.
We always say that if the Lakota people, the Lakota religion, they're totally welcome to be here. You know, that's no, there's no discrimination on that. It's just that we do not allow the practice of other religions on here because this is a Christian organization. A Christian mission, they can build a Lakota mission, and we won't go, we won't bother them with coming and saying we want to practice our Christian faith here at your Lakota. And most of the Indian people that come here already are Christian, you know, so it's not a big issue.
Another strict rule at the Cornerstone is no alcohol. Being drunk at the mission will get you kicked out.
Keep long time.
A supervisor at the mission gives a Lakota man a breathalyzer just before the meal is served. He blows red.
No, you're going to have to leave. Can't be here.
I can't get no
food. Can't have any food, can't have anything. You got to leave property. Sorry.
Can you give me something to eat, man? I'll be outside, man.
No, you'll be off property completely. He can't get you anything to eat either. You're going to have to leave because you've been drinking. You cannot be on the property when you've been drinking. You've done that before. So you're going to have to leave.
The men protest a bit longer until the police are called to remove him from the property. Presumably, they take him to the local detox center until he's sober. The detox center is a drunk tank. In an effort to find shelter, many Lakotas end up there or in jail. Meanwhile, the county jail is now undergoing a multi-million dollar expansion, thanks in part to the revolving door it has become for the homeless population. Mission Director Dan Iceland says people need to be taught that alcoholism is a bad choice to make, and he equates it with vandalism or stealing.
You know, it's not a disease, it's a choice. That's all there is to it. And I get people's hackles up when I take that stand, but I'm sorry, I have to go with what God says in that area. He says it's wrong behavior to be drunk. End of story.
But critics say the mission's strict policies actually push Lakota homeless people onto the street. Homeless advocates cite cases where people have frozen to death outside after being kicked out of the Cornerstone. And they say about 150 people have died of exposure in Rapid City since the 1970s. Lakota activist Rosalie Little Thunder says the Cornerstone fills a vital need for many in the community. but she strongly disagrees with the mission's policies that deny food and shelter to those who have been drinking.
If they're drinking, you know, they are turned away, and they have to survive in very severe weather, and people have frozen to death. You know, how hard is it to give them a warm place to stay, but to turn them away, to send them to death, I think is unconscionable.
Meanwhile, Cornerstone officials say they are very careful not to turn anyone out into the extreme cold, and that they most often call the detox center to take in those who are drunk. They stress that everyone is welcome at the mission, as long as they are sober, and they say that those who stay on the street have chosen to be there. But other homeless advocates, like Little Thunder, disagree on this point as well.
People act like the homeless made a choice to be homeless. They made a choice to sleep outside. They made a choice to be cold. They made a choice to be very miserable. And no human being makes that kind of choice. So, you know, oppression does terrible things to people.
In downtown Rapid City, a bearded man in an old army jacket plays the harmonica for Spit Change. Many of those who live outdoors say they don't feel welcome at the mission, and traditional Lakotas like Black Thunder say they would rather sleep outside under plastic bags and cardboard than stay at the mission.
It goes on down there. Try to stay away from it. I haven't eaten all day. I don't want to go down there. Too strict. If you don't stay there, you can't hang around there and keep warm. I don't care how cool it is. You don't stay there, you can't hang around there. And that's the way they say.
Still others say that homelessness is not a choice, and that the mission being insensitive to cultural differences. This elderly man took shelter from a very cold morning at a local fast food restaurant where he sits with his hands wrapped around a cup of coffee.
I'm a Lakota myself, and there was a time when there was no alcohol on this land, and you grew up with it. That's all you see, you know, and it's easy to fall back into it. You stay back down here, you know, but that's way of life for us, I guess.
But it shouldn't be a way of life for anyone. Little Thunder says that many traditional Lakotas feel alienated by the mission, which doesn't allow them to practice their own spirituality.
Well, interestingly enough, I do translation work. I do Bible translation work, and right now I'm focusing on compassion. And everything there tells you to have compassion for those that are in pain, who are sick, who are poor, and so forth. And yet, our experience with Christianity has been such a departure from that compassion. It is about oppression and pain. And so, you know, for Christianity to again be exercised in such a judgmental and very discompassionate way should not surprise us, but I keep thinking, when are we going to learn that to be Christian is to have compassion and not to denounce or to judge people or to condemn people? I've gone through that already. We all have.
Those working to end homelessness say the roots of the problem need to be addressed, namely economic inequality and racism. Celine Wolfblack, an instructor at Oglala Lakota College, says race is a factor in homelessness. She points to the fact that most of those who live in the streets are Lakota. She says many Lakotas travel to Rapid City in order to find work. They come from the reservations where unemployment can reach 80% and hope to find a job in the city. Wolfblack says businesses don't often hire Native people, and some Lakotas have a hard time adjusting culturally.
The Lakota people that here in Rapid City are trying to make a living. We're trying to have a better life for ourselves and our children, and we're trying to get these jobs, but we are looked over. Their big deal is all that income is just going to work till they get a paycheck and then they'll be gone. And I don't like to say, okay, it's racial profiling, it's racism. But that's all it boils down to. I don't like to hide behind that fact, but looking at the facts, that's what it is.
Many point to institutionalized racism as a cause of the problem. In a capitalist society, there is no room for Lakota people, whose worldview is often contradictory to the dominant system. Rosalie Little Thunder says many of the Lakota homeless are very traditional, deeply rooted in their culture. She says many still speak their own language and don't know how to sacrifice their values to fit into white society.
An example is that they are taught or learned that being Lakota is not being selfish, self-centered, or just to look out for themselves. They're very much more geared towards collective responsibility. And so in that sense, they are ill-equipped to compete in the capitalist world. And they are at a disadvantage. I think they have to become aggressive, very competitive, and that's something that's very hard to learn how to do. And so they're at a severe disadvantage.
Little Thunder says alcoholism is common among many of the homeless because of the state the system has put them in.
Not being able to survive in a capitalist culture, they lose. And in that pain, they tend to sedate themselves with alcohol. And so alcoholism is not a choice. Poverty is not a choice. Those are the effects of oppression and very deliberate oppression.
While many cite cultural and racial divisions as the root of the problem, others add that the capitalist economy also contributes to homelessness. Hazel Bonner is instructor of sociology at Oglala Lakota College.
And we have to recognize the fact that being poor is one of the biggest causes of homelessness. Getting evicted from a house, not being able to get another house because you've been evicted. You're paying 80% of your income for rent. You get evicted because you can't keep up on the rent. It's just this vicious circle.
Bonner says it's a complex problem, and the current efforts to solve homelessness rarely get to the real roots of the issue. She says radical change in the economic system is needed to really see an end to homelessness. For several years, various groups in Rapid City have been working to create another shelter in town that could help Lakota people. Mike Dillon is president of the local group Hope for the Homeless. Dillon says a second shelter that welcomed Lakota spirituality and helped to provide long-term treatment for alcoholism could go a long way in reducing the cycles of poverty that many are stuck in.
What we need to do is work together to better and heal the community so that the friction and the prejudice will let up and, you know, all agencies and organizations link together and to understand, you know, because this has been going on for 200 years, and it's about time that we need to let go of yesterday and walk together in brotherhood.
Hope for the Homeless is working to create a second shelter in Rapid City. Dillon admits that a new facility is a long way off and in need of community support and hundreds of thousands of dollars in federal and state funding to get off the ground. Meanwhile, those dollars are going over to the Cornerstone Rescue Mission.
Keeps us busy. It's always good work, though.
Dennis, a Lakota man in thick canvas overalls, stacks wood each day as part of the Cornerstone's wood sale program.
And it's continuous work, which is good. Right now, you know, Rapid City, is wintertime, work slows down. So by being on this work pile, we keep busy. And that's good, too. Boredom makes you do things that you ordinarily wouldn't want to do. So it helps us stay out of trouble and have us a good attitude.
This says the mission has kept him from a life on the street. And director Dan Iceland says the mission charges $6 for room and board, or it requires guests to work a half in one of several of its programs, like the woodlot, the thrift store, or a construction business.
We deal with a segment of society that is real chancy for the business world to take in and try to employ, because a lot of the people, especially the people coming off the reservation where there's never been any employment opportunities, they've missed the opportunity to learn what work is. And by nature, we're lazy. We're all lazy by nature. You got to learn to labor.
Last year, the Cornerstone pulled in a total of $1.2 million through community donations and by exploiting the cheap labor of the homeless and through government grants. Dennis says the Cornerstone is now applying for government money to expand, thanks to Bush's faith-based initiative, which allows Christian organizations to use federal funds. But critics say taxpayer dollars should not be spent on a facility that openly discriminates against religion. Rosalie Little Thunder says building bigger Christian-based shelters isn't the real solution to the problem. She says creating economic and cultural equality is. Rosalie says this is treaty land and that the economy should be structured in harmony with Lakota values.
Lakota culture is definitely in conflict with the capitalistic culture, and I'm not so sure that there is a way to find middle ground. You have to make severe sacrifices, and people either become capitalistic, or if they choose to or can't leave behind being Lakota, then they're at the lower stratus of society, the homeless and very poor. And if they're going to be Lakota and be compassionate and have collective responsibility, then that is the only place they can do that.
A squad car rolls down the city's bike path in the center of town during the annual homeless count. Each November, officials try to get a reading on how many homeless live in town. About 10% of the 80,000 people who live here are Native American. But 80 to 90% of those homeless on the street, Lakota. Rapid City has been labeled as one of the most racist towns in the country, and this racism sometimes manifests itself in violence. In a 16-month period between 1998 and 1999, 8 homeless men, 6 of them Lakota, were found dead in Rapid Creek. Their deaths remain unsolved, and homeless Lakotas, like this young man named Jason, say it's still as dangerous to sleep on the creek as it was 5 years ago. Like other homeless people in the community, he believes a group of white supremacists have been pushing Lakotas into the water.
You have to be careful, and that's the reason why all of the skins, we hang out. We hang out and we watch each other, because, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, someone can kill you, someone's going to hurt you. So that's, we watch each other.
This spring, a 4-year study by the National Coalition for the Homeless rated Rapid City as the 3rd most dangerous location in America to be homeless. They cited the creek deaths as the reason for the finding. But law enforcement officials strongly refute the study, saying that it is not based on the facts of the individual cases, and they add that there is no evidence that the creek deaths were racially motivated. Sheriff Deputy D. Glasgow drops a binder the size of a library dictionary on his desk and opens the thick blue cover. Glasgow has been investigating the creek deaths for the last 5 years. His huge file is only a small part of the paperwork that is accumulated on this case. Glasgow says officials have followed up on every lead they have been given, but have made no arrests. He urges anyone with any information on the deaths to come forward.
None of these deaths had any good, clear physical evidence that criminal investigators like to have. You know, there was no skull fractures or any clear evidence that they were beaten or physically, bodily thrown in the creek. So the evidence that we do have on the ones that do appear to be quite suspicious is also circumstantial evidence.
But homeless advocates like Celine Wolflack don't trust the police to finish this case adequately. Wolflack says there are indications of a cover-up.
And a lot of these people along the creek are telling us, well, even the police are mean to us. The police are kicking us. The police are beating us up. But I can't prove it. But police is a big enterprise, a big entity. They will stick up for another.
Others, like activist Rosalie Little Thunder, say they don't believe a fair investigation of this case is possible under the current system.
It's not going to be an unbiased investigation because we have the oppressive party conducting the investigation. And of course, racism is like alcoholism. It's a very close parallel. In that alcoholism, there is a lot of denial. And the denial concerning racism is something I don't expect for us to get through for many generations, really. So an investigation, a fair investigation, I don't think we'll ever see that. But I think if it was adequately investigated, it would at least bring people a little closer to the truth. These are deaths by negligence. A measure of a society is how we care for the least of us. And so that is only a small part, the investigation, the admission of reality. But to change human behavior, I think, is going to take a lot longer. we have to be proactive in changing that behavior, and we're not even reactive yet.
Ice, snow, and cold temperatures make winter the hardest time for this on the streets. On a blustery January day, just a year after the creek deaths, this elderly homeless man escaped sub-zero temperatures at a local restaurant. As the tears rolled down his face, he said he had nowhere else to sleep but outside.
It's not right. Then I have to sleep around along the creek, you know. Brothers and sisters, you know, they're all gone. I walked along the creek last night. It was sad, you know. I mean, it's hard talking, you know, right now. There's a lot of people that passed away. I don't know. It's so sad, whatever, you know. I gotta quit talking.
Today, Tony, the Lakota man in a wheelchair, says little has changed for those on the streets in the 5 years since the creeks. Tony looks up and says he is running out of the energy he needs to survive out here.
I just may just curl up in a ball and say, okay, my time. No more. No more.
He pulls the wheelchair around and slowly rolls off to find a place for the night. Homeless advocates say men and women will continue to die on the streets of Rapid City unless there is an end to the system of economic and cultural oppression that has been imposed on Lakota people for centuries. For Free Speech Radio News, I'm Charles Michael Ray in Rapid City, South Dakota.
That documentary was presented by FSRN's Charles Michael Ray. Please tune in tomorrow for another special documentary presentation. We look at Venezuela's President Hugo Chavez, known as the Poor People President. I'm Deepa Fernandez.